far as a wicked culture, we have something here, wickedness in religion, I should say. Reminder, last week we saw the miraculous birth of Samuel and answer to prayer, Hannah's prayer. It says in chapter 2, verse 11, where we left off, and Elkanah went to Ramah, to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. Notice he's not ministering to Eli the priest. Notice he's ministering unto the Lord before Eli the priest. Every word is important in the Bible, and you notice the wording there. Samuel is not serving Eli as much as he is ministering unto the Lord before Eli the priest. And that's going to be significant because of the wickedness we see in this household that was tolerated. Notice verse 12, it says, now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. You notice here, these sons of the devil were consecrated into the priesthood. Now that same phrase is what we saw here a while back, just a few weeks ago, in Judges chapter 19. Remember the wickedness that we saw there as far as the Sodomites are concerned? It's the same description of Eli's sons. So that tells us the wickedness, that it gives us an idea of the wickedness that his sons were doing. It says, they knew not the Lord. So here's unbelievers that were consecrated to the priesthood. I do not believe that they qualified for the priesthood, and we'll talk about that as we go through. It says here in the priest's custom, notice the custom of the priests with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant came. Notice not the priest, but the servant was sent to do the dirty work here. While the flesh was in seething, with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand. Notice it was the priest's custom. This is not God's command. Notice it, literally they take this three-pronged flesh hook, and while the meat is still raw there, as we're going to see, they tear off some meat. They tear off the best of the meat for themselves. And it says, he struck it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. All that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that came thither. And again, there's nothing in the Old Testament law about doing this. And so again, this is the custom of the priest, these wicked priests. And it says, also before they burnt the fat, the priest's servant came and said to the man that sacrificed, give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh of thee but raw. So again, they're literally going in before the meat has even been sacrificed and taking the raw meat and taking the best for themselves. And if any man said unto him, and again, they know what the law says, so they're correcting the priest. That's not a good situation when that happens. Let them not fail to burn the fat presently. Again, that's what God demanded in the Old Testament law. And then take as much as thy soul desireth. This was provided for the priest. But again, they're wanting to take the best. I don't know if they're getting rich off this, getting fat off this, or what. But thou shalt give it to me now, and if not, I will take it by force. So notice here these demands and threats even from the priesthood. Wherefore, the sin of the young man was very great before the Lord. For men abhorred the offering of the Lord. Now, as I thought about that phrase there, men abhorred the offering of the Lord, I think of people who abhor the local church because of wickedness that they've observed and that has been tolerated in churches. Literally, we see this from time to time. You know, some big-name preacher or whatever comes out, you know, exposed as far as some wickedness. And people abhor the local church. They abhor, let's use the word, they abhor the offering of the Lord. Again, there's a lot of people who have turned away from the local church because of this wickedness that is tolerated in churches today. Notice with me at Deuteronomy 21. I want you to see what should have been done as far as his wicked sons, sons of the devil. Deuteronomy 21. Deuteronomy 21, verse 18. Here's what God's law said just before they went into the promised land. Deuteronomy 21, verse 18, if a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, will not hearken to him. Now, there's probably the difference there. I don't believe there's any reference that Eli ever chastened his sons. Will not hearken unto them. Then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious, and he will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Well, we're going to see why Eli never corrected them about their gluttony and their drunkenness. But it says, all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. So again, back in 1 Samuel chapter 2, again, we see that people abhorred the offering of the Lord because of the wickedness of Eli's sons. But Samuel ministered before the Lord. Notice this contrast here between Eli's two sons. And notice Samuel here. He's ministering before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. And here's my desire, even as I have a note written in my Bible, that our young people, my grandchildren, our children and so on, will serve God even as a child. Amen. Notice Samuel is ministering before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. But again, serving young people, you need to serve the Lord from your childhood. Jesus was 12 years old and he was already about his father's business. You're not too young to start seeking what God wants for you from the Word of God. Again, Samuel ministered before the Lord, and we're going to see that he's obviously still very young as far as serving here and even being given a prophecy from the Lord. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him, notice, from year to year. So we see here that his parents had yearly contact with him. And obviously, Hannah, as I said last week, Hannah continued praying for little Samuel, especially as he's there in the tabernacle. And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, the Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord. And they went into their own home. And notice the Lord blessed Hannah far beyond what she asked and requested. It says the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters. The child Samuel grew before the Lord. Notice how many times this is emphasized. Samuel grew up before the Lord. Samuel ministered unto the Lord. So again, this chapter here is packed with these statements. Samuel growing up before the Lord. But again, God was beginning to move and work in Samuel's heart. Now Eli was very old and heard, notice, all that his sons did unto all Israel. Notice what they're doing to Israel, not doing for Israel. Obviously very self-centered motives as far as his sons were concerned. How they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. I'm sorry, but every time I read that, I think of preachers who know their sons are doing wicked things and they're either tolerated or sent off to somewhere else. I want you to think about this. Literally, churches are destroying the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ because of the things that they tolerate in churches. And he said unto them, why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Notice they're reports, not rumors. We're not talking about confronting somebody because of a rumor. There's so many times people will do disciplinary action because of a rumor. We're not talking about rumors here. We're talking about reports. Verse 24, nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. Ye make the Lord's people to transgress. You notice here, Eli only scolded them. He never corrected them. He never dealt with their wickedness. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? I want you to consider that Eli's sons should have at least been removed from the priesthood. At least, if not killed, like the law had prescribed, at least they should have been removed from the priesthood because they're sons of the devil. They're not even believers. They did not know the Lord, it says. Who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, notice, they hearken not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them. Now, I want you to consider this. I jotted a reference down in my Bible, 1 John 5, verses 16 and 17, where it says there's a sin unto death. I want you to think about, there's a point where somebody will cross a line and God says, nope, that's it. Literally, like Romans chapter 1 says, God gives them up, God gives them over to their wickedness. I really believe this statement here means that they had crossed a line as far as God was concerned, and there was no point of repentance here. Notice, because the Lord would slay them. John himself says there is a sin unto death. He says there is a sin that's not unto death. We should pray for those kinds of things. But I want you to think about this presumptuous sin that is literally unto death because they cross a line where God says, nope, that's it. The child Samuel grew on. Notice again, how many times this is emphasized under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. And what I think is amazing is Samuel is probably writing this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now Samuel is possibly blushing at this point because he's having to write what the Holy Spirit says. And again, Samuel obviously does not write everything in the book of 1 and 2 Samuel because he dies in 1 Samuel. So obviously, you know, there's other men, other prophets that continue the writing of this. This first, sometimes referred to as the first book of the Kings. Notice that the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. Again, this is a very similar statement to Jesus when he was 12 years old. Notice this warning from a man of God, a nameless man of God. And there came a man of God unto Eli and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt, in Pharaoh's house, obviously a reference to Aaron and the priesthood that the Lord selected Aaron to be the father of. Did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, the tribe of Levi, to offer upon mine altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? Again, this is the work of the priesthood. And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? I gave you these offerings. That's prescribed by the Old Testament law. But that's not enough, obviously. So they're taking flesh hooks and tearing off the best of the sacrifice and so on instead of offering them as a sacrifice to the Lord. So notice here this man of God is confronting with a warning to Eli. Wherefore, this is God's message here. Wherefore, kick ye at my sacrifice and mine offering. Notice he's talking to Eli. Eli, why are you kicking at my sacrifice and mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation? By the way, there's no touch not God's anointed here. Eli doesn't say, you know, he knows he can't say this. You know, thou shalt not touch God's anointed. Notice there's no statement like this. Eli is still guilty as charged, and he's receiving a confrontation from a man of God. Notice, honorest thy son. He honored his sons, I should say. Thou honorest thy sons above me. Notice that. His sons were honored above the Lord. To make yourselves fat. Notice, Eli was included in that. Eli was eating what his sons were taking by force. I want for us to consider as parents of adult children. We have to be careful not to enable our children. He was enabling his sons to continue in their wicked lifestyle. Oh, yeah, he scolded them, but that was about it. Notice he was enabling them by partaking in what they took by force. Notice with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. And again, God is obviously not pleased with Eli here at this point. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, this is what God says, not me, what God says. I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. What's the man of God saying here? Eli, you have despised the Lord and his sacrifice. Notice, they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Behold, the days come that I will cut off thine arm. This is not a literal thing. This is a symbolic thing where the strength of his household was going to be cut off. I will cut off thine arm and the arm of thy father's house, that there shall not be an old man in thine house. And thou shalt see an enemy in my habitation, in all the wealth which God shall give Israel. Notice God's enemies are going, of course we see later the Philistines. It says, there shall not be an old man in thine house forever. Notice it's repeated for emphasis. God is saying, this is serious. This is going to take place. And let me just say this. It's very interesting. Even today, when you think of the name Eli, do you think of anything good? He was concerned about Hannah possibly being drunk and confronted her, trying to correct her in the tabernacle. But he did nothing to correct his sons. And again, lightly scolding them and so on. But again, notice here, it's repeated for emphasis. There will not be an old man in thine house forever. And the man of thine whom I shall not cut off from mine altar shall be to consume thine eyes, notice, and to grieve thine heart. The ones who do live are going to be a grief to his heart. All the increase of thine house shall die in the flower of their age. In other words, they're going to die young. Now, let me remind you, one of the sons is named Phinehas. Phinehas actually had a good name, was a good name until Eli's son corrupted that name. Remember, he's named, obviously, after the grandson of Aaron. Remember in Numbers 25? It says he was blessed and honored because of his zeal for the Lord. In the matter of Baal Peor, he was zealous for the Lord his God. Well, that name Phinehas has been corrupted here. It says, this shall be a sign unto thee that shall come upon thy two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas. In one day they shall die, both of them. You know those sons that you honor before the above the Lord? They're both going to die in the same day. And I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in mine heart and in my mind. And I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before mine anointed forever. Now, obviously, this is Samuel writing this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now, I think it's very interesting as this man of God proclaims this message. I don't know if Samuel overheard it or God the Holy Spirit revealed it to him. The Bible doesn't say. But I want you to consider here that Samuel thought this was important enough to write this, record this warning down in Scripture. Of course, God the Holy Spirit wanted to emphasize it as well. Verse 1 of chapter 3 then. Notice the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. Again, this is another statement. We see that this is a continued thought here in this chapter. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. I believe that that statement is saying that a message from God was rare. It was so rare that it was precious, that any time a prophetic message came, it was rare. And so it was very, very valuable as far as this day. There was no prophetic word coming forth. There was no teaching priest, evidently. But again, God's word was precious in those days. It says it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, this famous story, and began to wax dim that he could not see, ere the lamp of God went out of the temple of the Lord. Notice the light about went out in the tabernacle where the ark of God was. Notice Samuel was laid down to sleep, and the Lord called Samuel. Samuel. And he answered, here am I. And of course, the story, he runs as a good servant. He runs to Eli and says, you called me. He wakes up in the middle of his... Oh, Samuel, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. Stop waking me up. So Samuel goes back to bed, and he hears the Lord again. Notice verse 6, the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. I called not, my son. Lie down again. Go back to bed. Stop bothering me. I'm trying to get some sleep. Verse 7, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. The Lord called Samuel again the third time. And notice he went, he rose and went again to Eli and says, here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived then that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, Jehovah, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Young people, are you listening for God's voice through the Word of God? God does not speak in an audible voice today. God speaks through the still small voice of the Holy Spirit speaking through the Word of God. Are you reading the Bible daily to get something from God? Do you have this attitude, Lord, speak, I'm hearing, I'm listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called at other times, Samuel, Samuel, he repeats it, Samuel, pay attention, listen up here now. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. Notice he literally is committing himself to be the servant of the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. This is a message that is going to be, grab everybody's attention. Ears are going to tingle over this. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I also will make an end. Now, I want you to think about this. Samuel's not a grown man at this point. He's a child, and this is literally his first prophetic message. Can you imagine one of our young people telling some old man, here's what God's going to do to your house? For I have told him, verse 13, I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. Again, he scolded them, but he never restrained them. Now, Eli, of course, ignored God's warnings. He ignored, evidently, the warnings from this man of God and other warnings. And therefore, I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. You know, can I remind you that Saul, King Saul, later on in this book was told, God does not want sacrifice as much as he wants obedience. Good. To obey is better than sacrifice. And let me just say this. Eli had the Old Testament law telling him exactly how his family, as priests, a family of priests, was to live. Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord in fear and trembling. Notice Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. He's only a child. He's having to grow up in a hurry here. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, here am I. You don't really want to talk to me today, Eli. And he said, what is the thing that the Lord has said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. Notice this threat then. God do so to thee and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit, and did nothing from him, hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. Notice there's no repentance. Almost like a fatalistic attitude here. What will be, I guess. You know, the Lord's gonna fulfill his word. He could have changed the direction of this, but he refused. Now Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And again, his first prophecy from the Lord was not easy to deliver. And let me just say this, the first prophecy like this, I think all the rest of the prophecies would be pretty easy after that, right? Notice again, he had to deliver this message from the Lord to Eli. Verse 20, and all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. In particular, young people, I want you to understand the importance of even at your age, finding what God wants you to do with your life. John the Baptist was young when he started understanding that God had a special plan and purpose for his life. And let me just say this, if you don't, you could easily become like Eli's sons. You easily could. Every day, look for what God has for you in the Word of God. But I'm praying for you as parents, grandparents, that you get a vision from the Lord of what God wants to do through your children, making sure that they hear from God. Father, I pray that you'd help us. Help us, Lord. To not just take this look at this as a story in the Bible. Father, I'm begging, pleading with you that our young people, each young person that's here tonight, will have a heart that has a desire to hear from you and to serve you. Lord, more than once it says that Samuel did not serve Eli, but he ministered unto the Lord before Eli. Lord, I pray that they have a desire even now to serve you with their lives. Lord, give direction to our young people, I pray in Jesus' name.